Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A federal jury in Boston reached a unanimous verdict and condemned the Boston Marathon bomber Zhahar Tsarnaev to death. Tsarnaev and his older brother Tamerlan killed three people. They injured more than 260 others near the finish line of the marathon in 2013 and then murdered a police officer several days later. David Boeri of member station WBUR in Boston reports.
Over the course of weeks, jurors had heard and seen and cried at the horror of explosions, carnage, and screaming on the finish line sidewalk splashed red. In the first phase of the trial, they had convicted Tsarnaev, the accused jihadist, on all 30 terrorism counts. In the sentencing phase of the trial, they took only a day and a half to decide that he deserved not life in prison, but death. U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz.
This was not a religious crime, and it certainly does not reflect true Muslim beliefs. It was a political crime designed to intimidate and to coerce the United States.
The announcement that a verdict had been reached so quickly brought Tsarnaev's defense attorney David Brook back to the courtroom with a grim face. It's too soon, he said, meaning too soon for good news for Tsarnaev. Jurors walked into court, eyes straight ahead. They stood nervously, some swaying, as the jury forewoman handed the verdict slip to the clerk, and the clerk proceeded to read it aloud for the next 21 minutes. The defense had argued that had there been no Tamerlan Tsarnaev, Zhahar Tsarnaev would never have done what he did, that the defendant was in the sway of a charismatic older brother who implanted jihadi ideology into someone who friends and teachers in Cambridge, Massachusetts remembered as a sweet, respectful, well-liked teenager. But the defense argument was soundly rejected by the jurors, who made it clear they saw little reason for imposing the lesser sentence of life in prison. In the subdued courtroom sat relatives of some of the victims, like Liz Norden, the mother of two sons who lost both their right legs and their livelihood as roofers. The climax came in minute number 20, when the jurors imposed the death penalty in 6 of 17 eligible counts.
I have to watch my two sons put a leg on every day, so, I mean, I don't know, closure, but I can tell you it feels like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders, so I think there is some form of a good feeling.
But if the families of two other victims wanted the death penalty, they were disappointed. The jurors did not choose the harshest penalty for the death of the woman killed by the bomb planted by the older brother, Tamerlan, which went off first, and they did not impose death for the counts involving the point-blank execution of a young MIT police officer by the two brothers several days after the bombings. In one last act of desperation, the defense called for and got an individual polling of the jurors. 12 clear calls of yes followed, and then several of the jurors, men and women, including the forewoman, broke down in tears. Outside, firefighter Michael Ward, one of the first responders on the day of the marathon bombings, voiced the sentiment of those who had called for the death penalty.
Well, he's going to go to hell. That's where he wanted to go, but he's going to get there quicker than he thought.
According to federal death penalty statistics, it won't be that early, but perhaps years, if at all. An appeal is automatic. As for the defendant, he was inscrutable, impassive, and indifferent, it appeared. That was how he looked almost every day of the trial, which may have led to the juror's conclusion he demonstrated no remorse. For NPR News, I'm David Boeri in Boston.